The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channel's Crusade.
Someone moves a color TV into my house. Let me turn my mic up a little bit here. I mean, so I can hear you guys. All right, so, yeah, I need a color TV in my house too, maybe. I'm always behind the times on technology, you know? Got those, I don't know, what's mine, like a 32-inch or something, you know? I don't have that 70-inch flat thing that sits against the fireplace. I'm not that good. I'm not worthy of it. Actually, I just don't watch enough television to justify it. Well, you know what? I just started talking over Dire Straits there. I'm David Simpson. You are listening to The True Money Show, coming to you live from the Veritas Radio Network, the Bulldog Kia Studio. And you know, it's really easy to get in touch with us. Let me give you the number. 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. You can email me, David, at tffco.com. I'm refreshing that screen as I say it. David at tomfrankfrankcharlesoscar.com. So I can see if you guys are emailing me as well. I'm going to have a guest on today to talk about some small businesses that you might be able to start on the side. Why would I bring on such a guest? Well, I'm trying to get you thinking about, you know, what if you did lose your income stream? What if your business could not support you anymore and they said, see you later, hit the street? We should kind of worry about these things, not get anxious or lose sleep over them, but we should say, why can't I plan for such an eventuality? It might happen. And if it did happen and you were, you know, had not done anything to plan for it, wouldn't that be a mistake? So that's the idea. Just having a little preparation for all exigencies out there that might happen to us in our financial life. So I'm going to have that guy, I'm going to have my guest on to talk about that, because he wrote an article called 50 Small Businesses You Can Start on Your Own. And we'll get into that in just a few short minutes. So, Mike Church earlier today said, I think, or he tied the all-time listener record to his show. Things are looking up here at the Veritas Radio Network. They're not solved by any stretch of the imagination. I hope all of you who are listening go and become our marketing department. You know, if you have a website or a blog that you keep or you Facebook, whatever, add our little banner on there to become an affiliate. You can make money, actually, by referring people over to us. Tell your friends and family. Look, you know, everyone says they hate the mainstream media. We say this all the time on this network. Well, we hate the mainstream media, too. And we've actually said, well, let's try to start another media outlet that is not mainstream, is not purchased by the advertisers, is not run by the propagandists that run all the other outlets. This is just an independent radio station that has live broadcasting and is trying to dedicate itself to the truth. We know that that's a hard enterprise. We know that we are not always right. We know that, you know, the only person who's got it objectively, absolutely true is God himself. But we are trying to conform our minds to God and his ways. And in doing so, we hope to bring you, the listening audience, some truth that you can put in the bank, if you will. You can build your life around, we hope, or make active choices about. And change your own life and change those around you. So that's kind of the goal of the Veritas Radio Network. Well, I wanted to bring up one thing today before I go to my guest, and that is, you know, I told you what my purpose is for the True Money Show. I believe there's an evil, or I don't know what you want to call it, an immoral money system that dominates our lives, and I'm trying to explain and expose that, you know, that immoral money system. That's my first purpose. My second purpose is I want to advocate for a just and sound monetary system to replace the one we have. You know, there's lots of ideas out there. We got to keep searching those out and come up with a way to not only explain it, but actually see if it works before we impose it on the rest of our society around us. But we are trying to find a better monetary system to replace the one we have. And then my third purpose is to counsel listeners on how to defend their savings and their wealth until we can replace the bad monetary system. That's my goal. Well, that's, you know, that sounds pretty high and mighty, I guess. That sounds good. But I bet you, and I've been thinking that some people might wonder, you know, is money an important enough topic to have on the Veritas Radio Network? You know, some people would argue, and I can't say without merit, that our national obsession with money and wealth might be the very reason we're in the pickle that we're in. So why is a financial show on the Veritas Radio Network? Well, it's this for this reason. If you conceive of money properly, if you have the right understanding of what money is, then I think you'll realize it's quite an important thing in all of our lives. For instance, what I conceive of money as and what I believe it really is or is supposed to be is money represents your past production. It represents the ministry, if you will, the work, the thing that you love and that you do for other people in the world around you. When you perform that service, when you sell that product, when you do some job for them, they give you money to pay you, right? Usually. I mean, you could trade services, I guess. But usually you're given money, and that money is supposed to store the value of what you provided until you want to discharge that money and get something else for it. Now, when you conceive of money that way, and I hope you begin to conceive of it that way, because you should cherish not the money itself, but you should cherish your work, and you should cherish the fruits of your labors, because this is what supports you and your family and your kids and all the things you want to do, maybe a vacation, or whether it be writing a book or whatever your enterprises are, your money affords you the opportunity to do that. So you can see it's a very important issue, and it's ripe with the potential for abuse and temptation. Okay? Now, that's where we went wrong, is we do have a national obsession with money, but in a wrong way. And that's why we're abusing money for what it really is. We're thinking money is the wealth itself, not the production. That's one mistake. And then we're tempted to just chase money without even knowing if it is legitimate production or value or anything else. We're tempted to think that we're after money and not rather the production that we can do ourselves and then buying the things that are really good for us when we use our money. So yes, I would say a financial show does belong on the Veritas Radio Network. This is an important issue. It affects every human being, and I'm glad that Mike has given me the opportunity to come on the Veritas Radio Network to talk about this. because I don't believe you get this in the mainstream media. I don't think you get this on other financial shows. I'm not going to talk about buy and hold unless I'm somewhat disparaging it, not completely, but somewhat. I'm going to talk about real life, how to organize yourself in the real life, and do well with your money. So let's get to that. I am happy to bring on the show today a guy who set up a website and a blog. It's called The Simple Dollar. And The Simple Dollar began as a site for people who were fighting debt and bad spending habits. My guest started The Simple Dollar in 2006 after going through a complete financial meltdown. I've not met this man before, but I read his story about his financial meltdown, and I can tell you that I've experienced many clients who have gone through very similar circumstances, and I think it's because of bad education in the financial arena. Well, anyway, within 8 months, Mr. Ham, Trent Ham, who's my guest, was able to pay off all of his credit card debt as well as his vehicle, and he also established an emergency fund. After that, he decided to share with the world what he learned and help those who are struggling with the same situation. So I'm happy to bring on the show Mr. Trent Ham. Are you there, Trent?
Yep, I'm here. Hello.
Very, very. I hear you. We're getting a little bit of a feedback, guys. Can y'all see if we can get his? It's kind of a echoey sound. Trent, welcome to the True Money Show.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
So I was just milling around the internet one day, looking for a potential guest for the True Money Show, and I came across your article, 50 Small Businesses You Can Start on Your Own. One of the things I advocate for my clients in my actual practice is I have four buckets or four places I store money. The first one is paper assets, the market, and so on. The second one is cash equivalents. And the third place, which is very, very, very rarely filled and very hard to fill because none of my clients want to go into it, is a independent, privately held business. I just think we need to diversify our income streams and need to have another place that we're earning besides our salaried positions. And again, hardly anyone in my book of business fulfills this third category. So when I came across your article, I was just said, well, I've got to talk to this guy and see if I can encourage some of my clientele to take on a small business. So first of all, tell us why you wrote the article.
Well, I wrote the article because, as you discussed, my desire to start the Simple Dollar. At the time when I started the Simple Dollar, I viewed it as starting another business. It was something that I had serially done throughout my life up to that point. It was inspired by my father, who had done the same thing, my grandfather, who had done the same thing. They were constantly starting side businesses. If they grew up big enough, sometimes they'd sell them off. Sometimes they wouldn't work out. That was okay. If someone would buy small, like, micro-businesses from other people and take over what they were doing.
Yeah.
Just something I learned from my family, and it's something that I naturally did. Mm-hmm. And the Simple Dollar started that way.
Well, you say in the first line of this article, it says that you encourage people, you think it's a good idea to, quote, spend your spare time dabbling in entrepreneurship. I agree. Why?
Well, first of all, the more, as you mentioned there, entrepreneurship can become an income stream, whether it's something you're doing in a few hours a week or something that becomes a full-time job or whatever it might be. When you start a business on your own, you completely control it, and it can potentially become a nice income stream for you. The more income streams you have, the less prone you are to complete life disaster if one of them fails.
Yes, yes. Well, no, I think that's a brilliant idea. Listen, I always advocate investing in businesses, and like I said, in my financial plan, it's the third box where I tell people to store wealth. Now, I generally tell them to try to find a place where they're not really doing the labor themselves because, I mean, I don't think anyone can keep up an 80 to 100-hour work week for very long. So I tell them maybe set someone up in business or maybe take your child and say, hey, listen, if you really have a devotion or a vocation to something you really like, I will give you the backing to start that avocation, if you will. Where do you kind of fall on that? You think really people can do this in their spare time on a regular basis, or do you advocate kind of being more the silent partner?
You can really do both. I mean, everybody's life story is different. Everybody has different things going on in their lives. I've started a lot on my own, and I've also given seed money to ideas that other people have had and let them do it. I've done both, and they can both work, and they can both fail.
Right.
How much time you have, I mean, it varies so much from person to person. It also depends a lot on their interests and things like that. But
right.
Both models can definitely work. I've had both models work in my own life.
Well, yeah, and of course, if someone wanted to work 80 hours, 100 hours a week, I surely, or sure as heck wouldn't tell them not to. I mean, I might caution them; they could wear themselves out. But I certainly, if they can handle it, like you said, if their life situation allows it, then who am I to say no? Well, I want to get through some of the ideas in the article because really the biggest goal of this show was to encourage people to think outside the box and to find ways to fill what I call the third place to store wealth, a separate business. So I'm going to run through some of the ideas in the article, and whenever you can, please elaborate. So you listed 50 ideas. I mean, this is a lot of ideas. So I'm going to go with number three, rent out a room in your home. You say that, I'm trying to find what I highlighted here. Have some extra space in your home. Turn that extra bedroom into a bed and breakfast room. If you live near any sort of tourist destination, you can try your hand at renting out a room through Airbnb or Couchsurfing.com. You may also find paid hosting opportunities in your community. Sign up to host exchange students, visiting professors to a nearby college or hospital patients receiving long-term treatment. You know, this is rather ingenious, I think. Do you know anybody who's doing this?
My parents did it when I was younger.
Oh, did they?
They had a reasonably nice basement, I would say, and they had a separate entrance that went into the basement. So they took part of the basement and essentially made it into a nice bedroom, and they rented that out for a while. And we had people that stayed down there, and most of the time I grew up in the house and I never would see the people. I just would come and go on their own, and my parents dealt with the business interactions with them, and that's just how it went. So I know that could work. We lived in an area that was fairly near a cultural tourist location that people would like to visit.
Right.
And that's who most of the people who rented from us were from. We got involved with that location and let them know that we had a room available, and then they kind of found people for us almost. But I wasn't involved in the business of that. Where I live now, we live in a fairly small home, and I have three children, so that's not really to have adequate room for it.
Right.
But if you do have adequate space in your house, it's absolutely a good option.
844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. If you had some questions to Mr. Trent Hamm about maybe an incipient idea for a business that you have in your head, call in and ask him your questions. Trent, I'm going on to a couple more areas. Blogging. This is obviously very popular now. You write, if you enjoy writing, find a topic you're passionate about and start a website. I know you have experience doing this because you've done that. How well does that go?
Well, it went very well. I started the Simple Dollar in 2006, and by 2008, it was producing more revenue than my primary job. So I switched and made the Simple Dollar my primary job. And, I mean, it worked very well. I mean, that's not a normal experience that happens when you start a blog.
Right.
But I've had other ones that I've started and just written when I felt like it, more or less. And they've turned into small but decent revenue streams, each one of them. The thing with blogging is that the more your articles you write, it's kind of like a snowball effect. The more you write, the more each article is going to earn.
Mm-hmm.
So if you write like two or three or four or five articles, it's not going to do very well. There's no way it's going to do very well. It starts doing well when you've got a lot of articles and you can link back to your old ones, and then you have more things that people can find via Google. And when they get to your site, then they can look around at more and more and more articles.
So it's pretty much.
So how you make money on this is you put ads on it.
That's
how you make money.
The ad revenue is really what generates. But the body of work is what brings the ads, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So at first, your first quite a few articles aren't going to earn very much. They're going to earn hardly anything. But the thing is, it's one of those things you stick with it, and the snowball starts building up.
Interesting. You did that in 2 years.
Yeah, but I was writing a lot during those 2 years. I had a child that was on an opposite, I guess the best way of putting it, was on an opposite sleep schedule from my wife.
Yeah.
So I ended up staying up very late a lot of nights, and that was, I did a lot of my writing then.
So there comes the 80 to 120 hour work week, it says.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was I was just sitting around, and I could either just watch television or try to do something, and I've been wired since I was a kid to not like sitting around doing, just watching television or something. I can't do it. I can't just sit and watch television. Right. I'm not wired like that. So I wrote, and it became the Slumber Dollar.
So we're talking about 50 small businesses you can start on your own, and I'm just running through a little series of the few that he mentions. There are 50 in the article at the Simple Dollar, so if you want to check out the article, go to the Simple Dollar and search out 50 small businesses you can start on your own. Number five says buying and reselling on eBay. I was wondering, is, you know, that got to be such a hot item for a while, and then I felt like, in my opinion, kind of the businesses took over there, and there's a lot less of that, you know, just that one guy out there selling. You think that's still a good, viable way to earn a living?
It's good if you know a particular area or a particular type of thing that you're buying and selling.
Mm-hmm.
If you know it well, you can do better than the businesses that are out there. I have a friend of mine that does this with trading cards, actually. Various kinds of trading cards. And you can go find them at yard sales, businesses going out of business sales, and people selling their old collections and stuff. And then he just flips them on eBay and makes pretty good money at it. I mean, he's a close friend of mine. That's what he doesn't quite make a living at it, but he makes probably 20 or 30% of his income from it.
Well,
maybe spends 10 hours a week on it.
Yeah, to me, that's a perfect, you know, I always tell people, you can get to that 20 or 30% of replacement income. Then if you lost your job, you're not starting from zero, and you can try to very quickly take that 20% and jump to 40 or 50 or 60, and then you're almost, you know, out of the hole.
Yeah, he could scale that up really fast. I know he could.
You know, the other thing, most of the ones that I focus on were the ones I thought wouldn't be like that much different from their normal life, wouldn't take that much many more hours out of their life. So 12 and 13, pet sitting and home daycare. Both of these involve, come on, if you've got a pet, then bringing another pet in that you're taking care of while someone's going out of town is not that hard of an enterprise. And home daycare, I mean, if you've got kids, or my wife and I, we homeschool our kids. I mean, we've actually talked about bringing other kids in to homeschool them if parents wanted us to. That wouldn't change our life very much, but it could be very lucrative, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I live across the street from two veterinarians. They do the pet sitting thing, and I don't know how much they make, but I know they make a fair amount at it.
Yeah.
That's just what they do in their spare time. They love animals, and they have pets in their home all the time, and it's a good income for them.
And, of course, they've got the credibility even, you know, that kind of ups the market a little bit when you say, hey, we're veterinarians. If anything goes wrong, we're here, right?
Yep. They've got a lot of credibility in the area. We've let our own pets stay with them before, so.
Very nice. All right, so the next one, again, kind of a thing, I think kind of a stay-at-home situation. Number 15, the social media expert. Almost everyone uses Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest these days, but did you know that many companies will pay people to help them manage their social media accounts? Do you know anybody doing this, and what kind of time requirement do you think that has?
I do know someone that does this. He lives in Arizona, and he does some social media consulting for companies all over the place. I'm not entirely sure how it's all set up for him employment, but I know that he consults social media things for a lot of different companies. He just started doing it by the company he originally worked for years ago when social media started to become a thing, when Twitter became popular at first and things like that. He just volunteered to do their social media account, and it became fairly popular, and then offers kind of trickled into him. People were like, well, who's doing your social media? That type of thing.
Well,
and that's how he managed to build his own set of clients from that.
You know, and I think that's kind of, we're talking to Trent Hamm of The Simple Dollar, who we're going over his article, 50 small businesses you can start on your own. You know, there has to be that spirit there, the little entrepreneurial spirit. You know, here's a guy who was willing to do something almost kind of for fun. It was an avocation for him, something he enjoyed. It was a new field called social media, and he kind of got in, it sounds like, on the ground floor and just jumped in with both feet. That's always required to start a business, isn't it? Just that desire and that interest?
Yeah, I think anything's going to work better if you have that desire or interest. I think, as you mentioned at the beginning of this, you were talking about situations where people might invest in the business. I think that's where you go if you see something that's lucrative and you understand that it's lucrative, but you're not passionate about it yourself. Look for someone who is and invest in them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and a lot of times I think we shortchange our kids a little bit because we say, oh, I don't really want to dump any money on him because he's, you know, I don't know. They don't trust their kids. I guess they know them too well. What is it? Familiarity breeds contempt. But sometimes kids really have a very deep-seated interest in a field. And I think we shortchange them if we don't give them the opportunity maybe to seek out that thing and really give it a run. We're coming up on our first break. Trent, can you hang with us for the next segment?
Sure can.
So I'm David Simpson. You're listening to The True Money Show. We're talking to Trent Hamm of The Simple Dollar. Trent's written an article called 50 Small Business You Can Start on Your Own. And I brought him on because I wanted to encourage all of our listeners and everyone that, of course, all my clients as well, we ought to do this. We ought to diversify our income streams because we're sitting at risk if we only have one way to earn a living, and that way can obviously go away. So take it to heart what Trent's saying. We're going to come back in a few minutes, finish up the article, and talk about Trent's own experience in running a small business.
They say money is the root of all evil. But on the True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Well, I walked down to my bank just to see what I could see. I asked the man behind the desk, I said, is there the money for me? Now he didn't know just what to say. I said, I need that money in a terrible way. Now he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. He just shook my hand and showed me the door. Oh, Lord, the blues is killing me. Now my wife loves money, and it bothers my mind.